You're opened exactly where we need to be this morning, Isaiah chapter 12. Thank you, Craig, for reading that, and for those men who helped serve in our worship this morning, and Bruce for leading those songs. Appreciate the songs of praise that we have enjoyed this morning. We're going to look at that in a little bit more detail as we get down to the second half of our lesson this morning. But I want to kind of begin in a different direction and maybe set the stage, because I think it will help us maybe see where the folks in this day and age may have been at this time that Isaiah is saying, sing, be happy, talking about songs of praise. You may remember a news report from April of 2001, going back just a few years, but it was a report about a missionary family, the Bowers family, a mother named Veronica, her husband, two children, a six-year-old and a seven-month-old named Charity. One particular night they were traveling via plane, and Veronica was sitting in one of the seats with Charity on her lap. Both mother and daughter were killed with a single bullet that was fired at this plane. It was fired upon by the Peruvian Air Force. They were flying in a Cessna, and they were mistaken for drug runners. The pilot, Kevin Donaldson, was also seriously injured, but was able to crash land the plane into the Amazon River. A night that definitely changed that family. Two of the members being killed. You know, it's hard to understand why things like this happen, especially when you consider that in all likelihood, the drug dealers and criminals flew that night without a problem. No problem. They landed that plane without incident and went on distributing their goods. And it makes you wonder, if God is good, why is life so unfair? And you may have heard that question asked, or you may have even asked something similar to that at some point in your life, when something has happened or something has come up. We've all heard the saying, when life gets tough, the tough get going. And all of us want to believe that we can have the strength to keep going, even in the midst of seemingly impossible situations. And we so often rely on our own strength. Say, I can do that. I alone can handle this. I can take care of this situation. How can we make it through difficult circumstances? How can we remain standing when all around us it seems as though this world is crumbling? Is it even possible? Far too many people give up. And their answer is, I can't. I can't go on. And in fact, according to a study that was taken, or some statistics actually that were compiled, and this is back a few years now, in 1999, by the American Association of Suicidology, said that in 1999, in the United States alone, there were 29,199 people who took their own life. It's an average of about 80 per day. If you break that down, that's one for every 18 minutes. Suicide ranks 11th as the overall cause among Americans, cause of death. That's bumped up to third on the list if you go down to the bracket 15 to 24 years of age. So very much a problem in the younger years as well. And it's also estimated from this particular study that for every suicide that there are 25 attempted suicides. Which means that in that year alone, 1999, almost 750,000 people here in the United States would have attempted to take their own life. So much for believing that when life gets tough, the tough get going. We all know that sometimes the events of life can hit us so hard that it's difficult to even stand, that alone get going. Fortunately, we know we don't face it on our own. That's what Isaiah was trying to tell the folks here. Yeah, you've gone through some destruction, yet there's a remnant. Yet there are those that will be there to worship, to praise God, there in chapter 12. We have that promise in Hebrews 13 and verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God." What's the rest of that? "Trust also in me." On the very night before Jesus would leave them. And those things that he had told them all along throughout his ministry would come to pass. They didn't want to believe that. They didn't quite understand what all was going to take place. But don't you know that their hearts were troubled? Their worst fears were about to become reality. And even Peter, the boldest of them all, tells the Lord that he would willingly lay down his life to protect Jesus. Yet Jesus tells him, "Instead of coming to your defense, you'll deny me." And we know that came to pass. We know that happened. We know that was part of the story that we read in the gospel. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. You know, no one's immune to trouble in their life. You must say, "Now, how are you going to work all this into songs of praise?" And we will get there in just a moment. But you know, crisis and difficulties come in all shapes and sizes. And sometimes they come from areas we're not even looking or expecting. We have that unexpected illness, that cancer, or that heart attack. We lose a job and we ask the question, how are we going to go on? How are we going to provide? How are we going to take care of our family? How are we going to meet our needs here on this earth? We lose someone that we love so much. Maybe that's a child, a parent, a grandparent, or a dear friend. We see economies all across the world collapsing. We see ups and downs in our own economy. If you follow the economy, you saw we dropped 205 points on Friday. We've seen those ups and downs. We know that happens. We've seen terrorists attack. And we ask ourselves if this world is safe. We see school shootings, bringing it a little bit closer to home. Maybe someone in our family is faced with an unexpected pregnancy. Or maybe someone we're close to abuses alcohol or drugs. These unexpected crises arise. They come in. They make life difficult. They make us think, what are we doing? Can I do this on my own? Can I withstand? What's going to happen? The list of possible trouble that could overcome our hearts is endless. And sometimes maybe we feel like Job. In Job chapter 3, beginning at verse 25, he says, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil." Here Isaiah is prophesying, praising God, worshiping God, on the very heels of a lot of turmoil, destruction, end of life that they were dealing with, literally, in this instance. How's it possible to keep from being overwhelmed and troubled when we face life's difficulties? Jesus says, "You trust in God, trust also in me." What does it mean to trust in God? Think about that for just a moment. Trust, is that a word that maybe has somehow lost a bit of meaning over the years or over a lifetime? Who can we trust? Do we trust in our nation? We trust in our leaders? Can we trust in our currency? Wherein does our trust lie? Now, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we'll all have a problem with trusting anyone, and that would sometimes include God. Be honest with yourself this morning. Can you think of times in your life when you've gone through that very idea of, how do I trust God? What's it going to take? You may have heard the old saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Many of us live our lives that very way. We think we're at the very end of that rope and we're just hanging on for dear life. So how can I trust? How can I let go? How can I know that God will take care of me? Trust doesn't come easy to any of us. Knowing we should trust God and doing it are two very different things. And here Isaiah is prophesying to a group who has gone through some destruction, gone through some terrible times, and he says, "Praise God." Talking about songs of praise, and we'll look at that in a little more detail in just a second. But how can we learn to trust God in our lives? You probably haven't heard of this name. I hadn't either until I was doing a little research on this lesson. McNeil Jordan. But McNeil's kind of unique in that he hit the 100-year-old birthday. And not too many get to see that milestone, but he did. He was born in Barbados on Christmas Day in 1902. And on his 100th birthday, he could still recite pages of scripture and poetry. He could tell you the name of the ship that brought him to Ellis Island, the street where he got his first job as a garment worker, and the very cafeteria in which he ate some 70 years earlier. Had a wonderful memory. Could recollect all of that. And a month before his 100th birthday, his family made a CD on everything that he wanted to say. They just let him talk and begin to record his words. His 8 children, 23 grandchildren, 33 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grandchildren all got copies of what he said that day. And he said this, and I quote, he said, "I eat well, I sleep well, I walk quite a bit, and every week there's church where I praise my God." He said, that's the most important. Give God praise every day. That's all. That's my life. Praise the Lord. Here Isaiah is giving a prophecy of praise in chapter 12. Yes, you've gone through tough times. Yes, you're hurting. Yes, you're defeated. Yes, you're destroyed. Yet God's there. It's the same God that's brought you where you are is there. That brings us then to chapter 12, songs of praise. We looked at some songs. We used some songs. We sang some songs this morning. Did you think of those words? Were you praising God as we lifted those before Him with our voices? As we've come together this morning, are we here to praise? Are we just here to kind of check in and check out? God wants us to praise Him. He wants us to worship Him. That's what Isaiah is encouraging here. 3 different things I think we can get from this chapter 12 to conclude our lesson this morning. Praise Him, first of all, because He is our salvation. And He points that out there in verses 1 through 3. "In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you've comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song." There's the first thing he talks about, our salvation. I like the way David put it in Psalm 103, beginning at verse 8. He said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always accuse, neither will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." If you're saved, God's anger is turned away, but He has the right to be angry. And He talks about that there in the first part of chapter 12. There in verse 1. He was angry, yet His anger was turned away. Solomon once asked a question, "Who can I say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." Who can say I have made my heart clean? And that obvious answer is no one. No one can say that. Paul put it a different way there in Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. He said, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Then verse 23 sums that up by saying, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We know that verse well. That's inclusive of everyone. So how was God's anger turned away? There was only one place that it could have been turned away. Only one place that it was turned away. And of course, that one place was on the cross, as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ hung there to take our sins, to bear our burden, so we could have eternal life. Later on in Isaiah chapter 53, he says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed." You see the anger of God? The anger that's talked about there in verse 1. Stop and think about what Jesus really did for us on the cross. Think about that for just a moment. We often think of the physical pain that He endured, the torture, the stripes. We'll think of that as we come around the table. We did that just a few moments ago, and we should as we remember each and every Lord's Day, the first day of the week. But He did something that no one else could do. Met that anger of God. Bore that for each and every one. That in itself should make us praise God in all that we do. Jesus took our death so that we could have His eternal life by placing our trust in Him. That's why Paul says these words in Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. God was angry. He was angry at the folks here in Isaiah's time. Sent the Assyrians in to destroy. And you've probably looked at that as we've gone through our lessons, the class time. And if you weren't here for class this morning, make plans to be here next Sunday morning at 9:30 as we continue our study of Isaiah. Praise the Lord because He's our salvation. Number two, because He's our strength. He goes on to say that there in verse 2. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength. We surely need strength to live in this world, do we not? Where does our strength come from? Does it come from money? We talked about the ups and downs there. Does it come from our own body? So often as a young person, especially guys, don't you think you can just go out and tackle the world? I used to think that. Now every time I wrestle Parker, I think, man, he's getting the strength and I'm falling behind. So that I don't think that anymore. We know these bodies sometimes, they give up on us. I can still whip you though, right? Maybe not. We'll see. Huh? But anyway, that's where is our strength. Is it from ourselves? Is it from our mind? Do we think we can do that? We can conquer all, whatever. The best place to find strength is in Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Several years ago, there was a story told about a Christian woman. And she had memorized many, many passages throughout her life. And as her mind began to falter, time began to take toll on her memory. She once knew how much of the Bible by heart, but one of her very favorite verses is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. You know, as time went on, even that brief portion of Scripture began to slip from her mind. And one day, as the family had gathered around her, she was muttering just her last few words. And they could barely even make out what she was saying. And one of them leaned down to hear the words that she was saying. She remembered one word from that sentence that she repeated over and over and over. She simply said, Him, Him, Him. You know, that one word made it all possible. I know whom I have believed, and I put my trust in Him. I put my faith, I put my confidence, I put my life in Him. And she knew that one word was what gave her strength. Her body was gone. Yet she could live on. And number three, praise the Lord because He's our strength and also because He's our song. There we get down to songs of praise. There in verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Jesus Christ is our song because He's our salvation and our strength. And He puts a song in our heart. And verse 3 reminds us that we can sing with joy. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Why can we sing with joy? Verse 4, He says, we'll call upon the name for salvation and help. And because in verse 5, He has done so many excellent things. Those all go hand in hand. You see how that works together? My salvation, my strength, and my song. What do we tend to do when we're happy? We sing, don't we? What do we tend to think of when we're things are going well? Maybe a song. pops into our mind. Who are you praising this morning? Nobody ever described it much better than S.M. Lockridge. And he put it to paper in his description of praising Christ. I want to share that with you this morning. No means of measure can define His limitless love. No barrier can hinder Him from pouring out His blessing. He's enduringly strong and He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast and He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful and He's impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomenon that ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of salvation. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He sees. He guards and He guides. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway to glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. He's the lord of lords. His promise is sure. His promise is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. That covers a lot of things in what He penned. But that only scratches the surface when we think of what Christ did for each and every one. He honors, He deserves our praise, our worship. Isaiah is reminding those in Judah that very same thing. Yeah, you're going through some terrible things. Things are going to happen that aren't going to be pleasing. Yet there will be a remnant. Praise God. Dr. James C. Brown told of a story of a 5-year-old girl named Mary. Mary was suffering some terrible illnesses and she needed to be examined, have an MRI performed. And if you've ever been through that, you know that can be kind of nerve-wracking. She would be placed in that small enclosed space. But Mary didn't show any fear. She didn't show any trepidation. As they placed her in that chamber to perform the test, they could notice that her lips were moving. And they could hear some muttered sounds. So they pulled her out and said, "Mary, you've got to be quiet. You can't talk while we're doing this test." She said, "Okay." They pushed her right back in, the very same thing. They saw the voice or that mouth moving and heard those sounds. Pulled her out a second time, "Mary, you can't talk." "Okay," she smiled and went on. Pushed her in a third time, the exact same thing. Finally, on the third time, after they had pulled her back out, one of the ones that was there trying to perform the procedure became a little perplexed. And he went over and said, "Mary, you're talking again. And if you talk, it causes blurry pictures." And Mary smiled and replied, "I wasn't talking. I was singing. You just said no talking." They looked at each other, felt a little bit silly, ashamed. And someone went up to Mary and said, "What were you singing?" And her reply was, "Jesus loves me. I always sing 'Jesus loves me' when I'm happy." How are we praising God today in our lives? What are our songs of praise? That little girl could sing with joy in spite of it all because the Lord was her song. The Lord was in her heart. The Lord was her life. I knew I'd forget that. Grab your songbook. I'm going to have to get one too. Turn to page 219. 219. We're not going to sing this song, but if you go to the back of your book and look at the list of songs of praise, it lists several. And this is one that falls on that list. An older song that probably you have heard, but as I was reading through the words of this song, I thought, wow, what a perfect way to end our lesson this morning. It's entitled, "He's My King," and it was written way back in 1911. So celebrating 101st birthday this year. "All day long of Jesus I am singing. He's my song of joy will ever be. All the while He keeps my heart bells ringing. For His love is everything to me. Streams of love around my soul are flowing. From His heart, love's everlasting spring. That is why my faith in Him I'm showing. That is why an endless song I sing. In His light, I'm going home to glory with the souls who trust His saving grace. Going home to sing and tell His story in the blessed sunshine of His face. And then concludes those verses by, He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long in raptured praise I sing, He's my Savior, He's my King. What a wonderful song of praise. If we could sing that and mean that and say, yes, Jesus, You are my King. God, You are my King. You're the reason that I exist. You're the reason that I'm here. You give me hope in an uncertain world. You give me reason to continue. I want to rely on You each and every day. Can you sing that this morning? Be honest with yourself. Ask yourself that question. Can I sing that song this morning and mean it? Ask myself that same question. Hopefully the answer is yes. We have many here this morning that are walking that Christian life, living that Christian life. But maybe something that we could pray for you this morning. Our shepherds would love to do that. Bring you before God in prayer. If you haven't yet become a Christian and would like to do that this morning, if you're subject to that invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?